and Mickey McCall enters from the basement. He is a slightly scruffy looking man in his 40s. He's dressed with a cloth cap and overalls with the name Minion Warehouse prominently displayed on the back. He's chewing gum, singing along with the record, and he crosses to the pile of boxes and picks up a couple of them.
Ridi Pagliaccio, la 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 la.
What a voice, hey?
He hangs the tuxedo on a hook on the wall behind the bar.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Bubbalo.
No, I meant the record.
Oh. Well, you know, maybe it's time to put on a different song. I mean, you've been playing that same record for the last half hour.
I know, Mickey, but it's the only one I've got.
Well, you better take it easy or it's going to wear out on you.
The record begins to skip.
Ha! What did I tell you?
Oh, darn it.
He crosses to the gramophone and gives the needle a nudge. The song continues to its conclusion as he listens in ecstasy.
What a talent.
Yeah, he's good, whoever he is. You know, I just love opera.
Well, then you're in luck. You're going to be hearing a lot of it around here from now on.
I am?
Haven't you heard who's going to be running my kitchen?
Who?
The maestro himself, François Le Plouffe.
François Le Plouffe. Never heard of him.
You've never heard of François Le Plouffe? And you call yourself an opera buff. He is a world-famous tenor. That was him you were just listening to.
I'm confused. You hired a tenor to run your kitchen?
Well, he's not just a tenor. He's also a world-famous chef.
No kidding. Can he cook as well as he can sing?
You bet he can. They don't call him maestro for nothing. He's worked in some of the finest restaurants in the world.
Imagine that. How did you get a guy like that to come and work here in Niagara Falls?
Well, it was all Honey's doing. She stole him away from the Royal York Hotel in Toronto.
The Royal York, eh? How'd she manage that?
Oh, you don't know my daughter. When she sets her sights on something, she usually gets it. I'm telling you, Mickey, Le Plouffe is gonna put this place on the map. When word gets out about him, those honeymooners will be coming to Niagara Falls with only one thing on their minds. Okay, two things, but one of them will be eating in my restaurant.
So when does he get here?
Looking at his watch.
Any minute now. Honey's just gone down to the train station to meet him.
Pulling out a cigarette case and offering one to Bubbalo.
Smoke?
No, thanks. Those things will kill you, you know.
Putting the case away?
Maybe you're right. I should try to cut down. I'll tell you something, though, Mr. Bubbalo. You got a lot of guts. Opening a restaurant in the middle of this depression? Do you know how many places I've seen go under in the last 3 years? The only guys that have managed to survive are the ones shipping booze over the border for the Americans.
Well, there won't be any of that nonsense going on around here. My Aunt Agatha ran this place for 30 years. She saw it through worse times than these, and she never had to resort to rum running. If she can do it, then so can I.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Mr. Bubbalo. I wish more people in this town felt that way. Ever since those Yanks came up with Prohibition, everyone in Niagara Falls has turned into a crook.
Everyone but me. I'm going to make this place a success the honest way. Besides, I've got something none of those other guys have. I've got François Le Plouffe. With him in my restaurant, I'm going to make a fortune. Oh, and speaking of fortunes...
Handing Mickey a wad of bills.
Here's what I owe you.
Thanks. I'm just going to finish up with these boxes and I'll be on my way.
You sure you don't want any help?
No, really, Mr. Bubbalo. It's okay. I am nearly done anyway.
Well, let me at least give you a little something for your trouble.
He hands Mickey one last bill.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Bubbalo.
Mickey pockets that bill and picks up a couple of boxes. Bubbalo notices the label.
French-Canadian pea soup? I don't remember ordering any of that.
Well, hey, knowing those numbskulls in shipping and receiving, there's a good chance you didn't. But you know how it works. If it's on the invoice, I gotta deliver it. Listen, don't worry about it. I'll double-check the order when I get back to the warehouse. If it's a mistake, I'll have somebody pick this stuff up tomorrow and we'll get it out of your hair.
Okay, fair enough.
Bubbalo exits into the kitchen. Mickey looks around to see the coast is clear. He opens a box of the pea soup.
There won't be any of that nonsense going on here. Gee, what a chump.
He pulls out a bottle of whiskey.
You're not the only one who's gonna be making a fortune, Bubbalo.
He cackles with delight, gives the bottle a kiss, and puts it back in the box. He picks up some boxes and starts to exit into the basement, singing along with the record.
La 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 la.
Honey Bubbalo, an attractive young woman in her mid to late 20s, enters from the archway wearing a hat and carrying a chef's hat and a large book.
Pop?
Coming.
She crosses to the bar and puts down the hat and the book. Buffalo bustles in from the kitchen, scraping his tie.
Monsieur Le Pleuf, bienvenue au château. Where is he?
Taking off her hat and setting down her purse.
He wasn't on the train.
What do you mean he wasn't on the train?
The only people who got off were a dozen members of the Allure Ladies Lawn Bowling League.
Well, maybe you just missed him.
Not unless he was dressed in a white skirt and matching shoes.
Well, what do you suppose happened to him?
I don't know. But the conductor found these on one of the seats.
She holds up Chef's hat and book.
His recipe book and his hat.
Well, looking at the hat.
Well, where's the rest of him?
I don't know.
What? Why would his things be on the train if he wasn't? Maybe he's been kidnapped.
Now, Pop, don't be silly. I'm sure there's a very simple explanation. He probably just went to buy a magazine or something, and the train pulled out of the station without him.
Well, if that's what happened, why didn't he just phone and tell us?
Look, Pop, there's another train in a couple of hours. Why don't we wait and see if he's on it?
Honey, we don't have a couple of hours. We're short on time as it is. I knew I should have talked him into getting here yesterday.
We'll be fine, Pop. All we have to do is make sure that everything's ready for him when he gets here. Now, why don't you go down to Bucky's and pick up the geese, and I'll get things going here.
What if he doesn't show up at all?
Now, Pop.
We've got 60 guests coming here tonight for this gala opening. They're expecting a gourmet meal served by François Le Pleuf, the famous singing chef. Instead, they're going to be treated to an evening of canned pea soup and Irving Bubalo's famous record collection.
What famous collection? You've only got one record.
Well, at least it'll be a short evening. Good grief, this is going to be a disaster.
Calm down.
Calm down? How do you expect me to calm down? I'm opening a restaurant and I have no chef. Le Pleuf's vanished in a poof of smoke.
Come on, Pop.
I should have known better than to trust a Frenchman. We're going to be out of business before we've even opened.
Oh, now don't say that.
I just gave Mickey the last of our cash, you know. We're now officially broke. We've spent every penny Aunt Agatha left us on renovating this place. We would have done better to sell it and split the money.
Honey, crossing to the kitchen doors.
Now, Pop, don't panic. It'll all work out.
Not without François Le Pleuf, it won't.
Well, look at it this way. At least we've got all his recipes. If worse comes to worst, we can hire someone else to cook the dinner.
She exits into the kitchen.
Oh, sure. Singing chefs are a dime a dozen. Any minute now, another will just come walking in that door.
He follows her into the kitchen. Frank Plunkett enters. He is a nice-looking man in his 30s, wearing a shabby suit, carrying a suitcase with his name printed on the side in large letters.
Hello?
He sets down the suitcase as Mickey enters from the basement.
Oh, good morning. Are you the owner?
No, that'd be Mr. Bubalo. You must be the new chef.
Well, I sure hope to be.
Offering his hand.
The name's Plunkett, Frankie Plunkett.
Plunkett. Nope, sorry. I thought you were somebody else.
You mean they've already got a chef?
Afraid so.
I was hoping they might be hiring.
You'd have to talk to Mr. Bubalo about that.
I'd take just about anything at this point. I've been from one end of the country to the other, and I can't find a job anywhere.
A lot of that going around these days.
Mickey exits to the basement with a couple more boxes. Frank looks around, spots the chef's hat on the bar. He picks it up wistfully and puts it on his head, picks up the recipe book just as Bolo enters, calling over his shoulder.
I'll be back in 5 minutes. Keep an eye out for our vanishing Frenchman.
He turns and sees Frank's and jumps.
Ah!
Mystery the chef's hat and recipe book.
Oh, you made it after all. Thank goodness.
Huh?
Bienvenue au Château Bubalo, monsieur. C'est un grand honneur de faire votre connaissance.
Bubalo bows deeply. Frank flummoxed, bows in response.
That's about the extent of my French, I'm afraid. I've been practicing for days. Anyway, I'm glad you've managed to find your way here. Honey must have just missed you at the station. Oh my goodness, where are my manners?
Offering his hand.
Irving Bubalo, at your service.
But Mr. Bubalo...
Pumping his hand?
And please, call me Irving. And may I say how honored we are that you've chosen to come and work with us. You have no idea how much this means to us.
But, sir, I'm not...
Oh, there's no need to be modest with me, Monsieur Le Pleuf. I've been a fan of yours for years.
Le Pleuf?
Or would you prefer I called you Maestro?
Maestro?
Fine, Maestro it is.
But...
You know, you don't look anything like I pictured you. I imagined you'd be larger somehow.
Well...
Bubalo, indicating the recipe book in hand.
I see you found your things. Listen, the kitchen's right over here. You go ahead and make yourself at home.
Taking off the apron and putting on his jacket.
I'll be right back. I'm just on my way to go pick up the geese.
Geese?
For your famous goose galantine. I can't wait to try it.
Shaking his hand again.
Gee, it's great to have you here. With you in my kitchen, I know this place is going to be a gold mine.
He crosses to the archway.
Oh, and anytime you'd like to warm up, there's a piano in the dining room.
Bubble exits.
Piano?
Honey enters from the kitchen wearing an apron and carrying a bowl of punch. Frank stands there, instantly smitten.
Pop, where's the... Oh, hello. Who are you?
The chef.
Chef?
Maestro?
Maestro?
Monsieur Leplouf.
What are you talking about? You are not Francois Leplouf.
I'm not?
Honey, setting the punch bowl on the table.
No. I met him in Toronto 2 weeks ago, and you are definitely not him. Now, just what are you trying to pull?
Nothing, miss. I just...
What's your name?
Frankie Plunkett.
Well, Mr. Plunkett, would you mind telling me what you're doing here?
I'm not really sure.
I beg your pardon.
I just came in here looking for a job. The owner seemed to think I was this Leplouf character, and he disappeared before I had a chance to tell him otherwise.
I see. So you thought you'd just take Monsieur Leplouf's place, is that it? And how long were you planning on keeping up this charade?
I don't know. I guess I wasn't thinking things through. I've been so desperate. I haven't worked in over a year. I mean, it wouldn't be so bad if I only had myself to worry about. But my mom's been sick. You see, I haven't been able to send her any money for a long time now. Look, I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean to. Oh, I think I'll just be on my way.
Frank picks up his suitcase and turns to go.
Mr. Plunkett.
Yes?
I'm sorry about your troubles. I really am. I wish there was something that I could do to help you.
Thanks, miss. I appreciate that. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Frank exits through the archway. Honey watches him go wistfully. The phone rings.
Chateau Babelot? Yes, operator. This is Honey Babelot. From whom? Oh, yes, I'll take the call. Monsieur Leplouf. Where are you? I beg your pardon?
Frank re-enters unseen by Honey.
What do you mean you're not coming? Going back to France? But what about our agreement? We've got our big opening tonight and... What was that? Who's after you? Monsieur Leplouf.
Jiggling the telephone hook.
Monsieur Leplouf, hello?
She puts her head in her hands, Frank taking the chef's hat off of his head.
Excuse me, miss. I think this belongs to you.
He hands her the hat.
Thank you.
She takes the hat and the growl begins strangling it.
Pardon me, but I couldn't help overhearing, but did you say your chef wasn't coming?
That's right. He's left the country and left us in the lurch. It's our grand opening tonight and we have no one to cook the dinner.
Well, it seems we might be able to help each other after all.
What do you mean?
I can cook your dinner.
You?
That's right. I may not be Leplouf, but I am a chef.
A chef? Wait a minute, you're not just saying that to get a job now, are you?
No, I'm a chef, honest. Here's my card.
He pulls a card out of his breast pocket and hands it to her.
Frank Plunkett, chef de maison. Maxime's. You are a chef at Maxime's?
That's right.
Oh, Maxime's and Pelly France?
No, Maxim's in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Oh, never mind. It'll do. Mr. Plunkett, you're hired!
Honey blinks the chef's hat on his head and shoves his card in his pocket.
Really?
Really?
Why, thank you! You don't know how much I appreciate this, Miss,
He takes his hand.
Bubbalo. Honey Bubbalo.
Oh, the boss's daughter, eh? Well, it sure is a pleasure to meet you, Miss Bubbalo. And I promise, I'll do a good job for you. Now, where should I start?
Frank turns towards the kitchen.
Oh, just a moment. Mr. Plunkett. There's just one thing.
What's that?
We can't tell my father who you really are.
Why not?
Because he's banked the success of this place on Leplouf's name. If Pop finds out that his Francois Leplouf is really Frank Plunkett, this restaurant of ours will never open and you will be out of a job.
Oh, Miss Bubbalo, I don't think I...
Look, Pop, he already thinks you're Leplouf anyway. All you have to do is keep on pretending to be him.
Honey crosses to the closet, opens the door. Inside there are several shelves on which there are staff linens, chef's whites, canned goods, etc.
But I can't do that. I don't even speak French.
Honey crossing him with an armful of chef's whites.
You won't have to. Just put on an accent.
What?
Oh, you know, like, mange baguette, you know, talk like that. Now here.
She hands him the weights.
Yes, but what am I supposed to cook? I don't know any of LePlouffe's recipes.
Handing him the recipe book.
They're all in here.
Handing him the menu.
Now, here's this evening's menu. Everything else you need is in the kitchen.
But if your dad finds out who I really am...
Look, Mr. Plunkett, all you have to do is get through tonight. Believe me, if the opening is a success, Pop will be so grateful to you. He won't care if you're Betty Boop.
I don't feel right about this, Miss Bubbalo. It's dishonest.
Please, Frank. You're our only hope. We can't open this restaurant without Francois LePlouffe.
Taking his hand.
In other words, without you.
No, all right.
Thank you.
Honey kisses him on the cheek. Frank has to steady himself to keep from swooning. Honey heads towards the dining room.
Now you better get started. We are way behind. I'll be right here in the dining room if you need anything.
I don't know if I can pull this off.
You'll do fine, Mr. Plunkett. I have every confidence in you. As long as Pop doesn't ask you to sing.
She exits into the dining room.
Sing?
He exits into the kitchen. Bubbalo enters through the archway, struggling with two heavy sacks as Mickey enters from the basement.
Hey, Mickey, did you see my neon sign out front?
How could I miss it? It's got to be the biggest thing this side of the falls. They'll be able to see it all the way from Bubbalo, Mr. Buffalo. Buffalo, Mr. Bubbalo. What's in the bags?
Geese.
Setting it down?
Ugh. Very well-fed geese.
You got someone to cook them for you yet?
Yes, LePlouffe's arrived. Thank goodness.
Spotting Frank's suitcase.
Hey, where'd this come from?
Reading the name on the side of the case.
Frank Plunkett? Who the heck is he?
Plunkett. Oh, just some hobo. He was here looking for a job. He must have forgot it.
Putting suitcase down near the bar.
Oh, well. I'll leave it here in case he comes back.
Mickey picks up a couple more boxes.
Here, Mickey, let me give you a hand with those.
Mickey, as Bubbalo moves to pick up a couple of boxes.
Oh, no, that's okay, Mr. Bubbalo. You don't have to.
Bubbalo picking up the boxes and jiggling them.
That's odd. Do you hear that?
Hear what?
I thought this was canned pea soup.
Jiggling the box again.
Sounds more like bottles to me.
Sets the box down.
Oh, it's probably ketchup or something. They label these boxes wrong all the time.
I don't remember ordering ketchup either.
He starts to open a box.
Well, don't do that, Mr. Bubbalo.
Hey, take it easy. I just want to see what this is.
Pulling a bottle of whiskey out of the box.
What the heck? Whiskey?
Whoa! How did that get in there?
Why don't you tell me?
How should I know?
What's going on here, Mickey?
I don't know. There must have been some kind of mistake.
Mistake? How does a box of pea soup get loaded up with whiskey by mistake? Wait a minute.
He opens another box and pulls out another bottle of whiskey.
Oh my gosh. How many of these mistakes did you bring me?
500?
500? You mean I've got 500 cases of bootleg booze in my basement?
That's about the size of it, yeah.
What are you doing bringing this stuff here? Do you realize what'll happen to me if I get caught with it? They'll shut me down. I'll be ruined. You've got to get it out of here now before anybody sees it.
Honey enters, Bubbalo hides the bottles behind his back.
Anything wrong, Pop?
Wrong? No. What could be wrong?
Frank enters from the kitchen, now dressed in chef's whites.
Ah, Maestro, what can I do for you?
Excuse me, Mr. Monsieur Bubbalo, I'm ready to start the mousse, but the salmon, I cannot find there.
Honey crossing to get her coat and purse?
Oh, the salmon! I forgot to pick it up this morning. I'll be right back.
But, Miss Bubbalo, you cannot leave.
Don't worry, Monsieur LePlouffe. It's just around the corner. Back in a jiffy.
She exits through the archway. Bubbalo shoves the bottles into Mickey's hands, crosses to the bags of geese.
I'm so sorry about that, Maestro, but the good news is I've got your goose.
Huh?
A dozen grade A grain-fed birds, just as you requested.
He picks up the geese and hands them to Frank, who looks at them trepidatiously.
Ah, oui. I will start on those tout de suite. Merci, monsieur.
Mickey recognizing Frank.
Hey. It's Frankie, ain't it?
Huh?
That's Francois to you, you ignoramus.
Please excuse me, but like the goose, I must fly.
Dashes into the kitchen. Bubbalo wheels on Mickey and grabs his collar.
All right, you little weasel. Now get this stuff out of here.
Hey, take it easy, Mr. Bubbalo.
Take it easy? You fill my basement with 500 cases of contraband liquor and you expect me to take it easy? You're lucky I don't take your head off! Now, who does this stuff belong to? You?
Well, not exactly.
And then who does it belong to? Exactly.
Alphonse Spaghetti?
Alphonse Spaghetti? You mean Noodle Spaghetti? The Chicago gangster?
That's right.
How did you get mixed up with Noodle Spaghetti?
Well, didn't you know? He's been shipping booze through Dominion Warehouse for years.
He has?
Sure. That's how he gets it over the border. We pack it in our boxes and drive it across in our trucks.
He replaces the bottles in the box and closes them up.
You mean to tell me you work for Noodle Spaghetti?
Well, I did. Until today.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm sick and tired of breaking my back for slave wages while Spaghetti sits in Chicago raking in all the dough. I'm getting out of this racket, and this is my ticket.
You stole 500 cases of booze from Noodle Spaghetti? He's gonna kill you!
I'm not stealing a thing. This shipment's gonna get hijacked by Morris the Hound.
Morris the Hound Burger?
That's right. He's coming to pick it up today. Gave me a real good price for it, too. He's been itching to cut into Al's liquor business for ages.
But Spaghetti's gonna know that somebody at the warehouse tipped off Morris the Hound. He'll find you.
No, he won't. By the time he figures out who it was, I'll be long gone.
But why bring it here? What does any of this have to do with me?
I needed somewhere to stash the stuff until Morris the Hound could pick it up. Somewhere Spaghetti didn't know about. Everything was going along fine, too, till you started getting nosy.
It's a good thing I did.
Bubble crosses to the phone.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm calling the police.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Why not?
You'll only make it worse for yourself.
What are you talking about?
All right, go ahead and call them then if you want. But what are you going to tell them?
The truth?
What? That you just let me load 500 cases of Noodle Spaghetti's booze into your basement without knowing about it? They're gonna think you're in on it, Bubbalo.
Nonsense. They'll believe me.
Bubbalo picks up the phone. Mickey pushes the hook back down with his finger.
Even if they do, you know what'll happen then? You're going to have Morris the Hound and Noodle Spaghetti after you for handing their booze over to the cops. And believe you me, that's not something you want.
Morris the Hound and Noodle Spaghetti? After me?
Mickey takes the phone from Bubbalo and sets it back on the hook.
Look, Mr. Bubbalo, there's an easy way out of this. All you gotta do is keep your mouth shut till Morris gets here, and I'll make it worth your while. Tell you what, I'll give you 10% of my cut, right off the top.
Mickey pulls out the water bills Bubbalo gave him earlier.
You can even have an advance.
Bubbalo looks down at the money.
I'll take my chances with the police.
He reaches for the phone.
All right, Bubbalo, if you want to do it the hard way.
Mickey pulls out a gun and aims it at Bubbalo.
Hands up. Step away from the phone.
Bubbalo, setting the phone down and raising his arms.
Mickey, what are you doing?
Shut up. I'm the one giving the orders now. Pick up those boxes and take them downstairs.
Bubbalo picks up a couple of boxes.
What are you going to do? Kill me?
Oh, don't worry, Bubbalo. As long as you do as you're told, nobody will get hurt. But remember, you say one word to anyone,
indicating the restaurant,
and you can kiss all of this goodbye. Now move it.
Bubbalo exits down the stairs. Mickey follows him and shuts the door. Two walks but still remain. As the basement door shuts, Alphonse Spaghetti enters the archway upstage. Al is a typical mob boss type in his mid-40s, dressed in the appropriate garb and chewing on a large unlit cigar. However, he carries his head tilted to one side, obviously in some discomfort. Shirley, his lieutenant, follows him on. Shirley is a large, imposing enforcer type in his mid to late 30s.
Jeez, my neck is killing me. Who did Guido think he was making that coffin for? Mickey Rooney? Thanks to him, I'm going to be walking around like this for the rest of my life.
Still, it got you over the border, didn't it? I told you those pansies at customs would be too chicken to inspect a stiff.
Maybe, but another few miles in that box and you'd have a real stiff on your hands.
Rubbing his neck?
Ugh, son of a bitch. How am I supposed to do business like this?
Shirley crosses to him.
Here, hold still.
He grabs Al on either side of the head and with one sharp motion adjusts his neck back to normal.
That's better, thanks, Shoyle.
Don't mention it, boss.
You know, I'm getting too old to go around risking my neck like this.
What you need is a good masseuse.
Masseuse? Nothing. I tell you what I need. I need a vacation. I'm tired of this nonsense. Chasing after punks like this Mickey McCall. Can you believe the noise of that little rat? Thinking he could double-cross Alphonse Vaghetti? In the old days, this never would have happened. You know what it is, Shoyle? I'm getting soft. I'm losing my touch. Maybe it's time I retired.
Retired? You? You gotta be kidding. What would you do all day if you retired?
Start living, for one thing. God knows I got enough scratch, I just never have the time to enjoy it. Do you realize how long it's been since I had a day off? I'm telling you, Shoyle, I would have retired years ago, except I could never find the right girl to settle down with.
What are you talking about? Your name's coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, but I don't mean some cheap floozy. I mean somebody to come home to. Somebody special. Somebody who can really appreciate me for who I am.
Don't worry, boss. It'll happen one day. Good-looking fellow like you.
Oh, shut up. You're starting to sound like my mother.
Looking around?
You sure this is the right place?
Opening the chute, surely.
Must be. Look at this. A bottle drop.
He takes a coin from his pocket and tosses it down a beat, and then we hear it land down in the basement.
Just like one ear speaks back home.
Al spots the boxes of pea soup.
Hey, looky here. French Canadian pea soup.
He opens up the box and pulls out a bottle.
Bingo!
Looks like your snitch knew what he was talking about.
Veronica Snoop enters from upstage. She is an officious-looking woman in her 40s, wearing a dress and raincoat and carrying a briefcase.
Excuse me?
Al tosses the bottle to Shirley, who hides it behind his back. He and Shirley smile innocently.
Yes, ma'am?
Hello. Are you Mr. Bubbalo?
Al, appreciating her legs.
Who wants to know?
My name's Snook. Veronica Snook. My card.
She pulls out a card and gives it to Al.
Pleased to meet you, Mrs. Snook.
That's Miss, actually. And it's Snook, without the schnuh.
Charmed, I'm sure.
And you are?
You can call me Al.
Well, Al, perhaps you could help me. I'm looking for a François Le Plouf.
Le Plouf? You mean that singing chef?
That's right.
Sorry, lady, we ain't seen nobody like that.
Wish we could help. If this Francoise Le Pouf shows up, you want I should give him a message?
No, that's all right. I'll check back later.
Good idea.
Hey, what's your hurry? Sit down, take a load off.
Boss?
That's very kind of you, but I really must be going.
Gee, that's too bad. Listen. You come and see us again real soon, okay?
Oh, I'll be back. You have my word on it.
We'll be looking forward to it.
Veronica exits offstage.
Shoyle, did you get a load of that dame?
Now, boss.
Al, looking through the archway.
I think she likes me.
Boss, this ain't the time.
Setting the bottle on the bar and taking Veronica's card from Al.
Now, come on. We've got work to do. Holy smoke. Look at this. Government Canada. She's a fed.
No kidding. I ain't never seen a lady cop before.
Shirley putting the card down on the bar.
Lady cops? That ain't natural.
Oh, seems like a pretty good idea to me.
It's not American, that's what it is. Lady cops. Imagine that. These Canucks sure play by different rules.
Yeah, ain't it great?
Come on, boss, let's get moving. We gotta get that booze across the border before Morris the Hound shows up. We don't want a shootout here. We'll have Miss Schnook and her buddies swarming all over us.
She can swarm all over me anytime she wants to. Anyways, we ain't going nowhere till I get my hands on that Fink Mickey. I'm gonna carve him up like a Thanksgiving turkey. Then I'm gonna go over to that warehouse of his and burn it to the ground.
Now, boss, we don't need to be here for that. The boys will look after it.
Look, I came here to take care of things personally. I'm gonna show these monkeys what happens when you try and make a chump out of Alphonse Vaghetti.
Mickey enters from the basement, closes the door. He sees Al and Shirley and freezes in his tracks.
Well, look who's here, Shoyle.
Oh, Mr. Vaghetti, what are you doing here?
I was about to ask you the same question. Frisk him, Cheryl.
Shirley begins to frisk him.
Look, Mr. Vaghetti, I can explain.
Oh, what's to explain? You stole my booze, and now you're gonna pay for it.
Pulling out Mickey's gun.
What's this for, Mickey? Target practice?
No, protection.
Protection, huh? From who? Me?
No, Mr. Vaghetti, from Bubbalo.
Bubbalo? Who's Bubbalo?
Irving Bubbalo, the owner of this joint. It was all his idea. He made me do it.
Oh, yeah?
He said he was going to kill me if I didn't go along with it. I didn't want to, Mr. Vaghetti, But...
Shirley pulls out a wad of cash from Mickey's pocket and waves it in his face.
But he talked you into it, right?
No, no, you've got it all wrong.
You're the one that's got it wrong, Mickey. Thinking you could pull a fast one on Alphonse, forget it.
Shirley pulls out Mickey's cigarette case from his breast pocket, opens it, looks inside, and shoves it back into Mickey's pocket.
Okay, boss, he's clean.
Stand back, Shirley. I'm gonna grease this weasel.
Al cocks his gun and aims it at Mickey. Mickey backing away.
No, Mr. Forgetty, please!
Boss, we can't do this here.
You don't need to do it anywhere. I'm innocent, I tell you.
Shut up, Mickey. I heard enough out of you.
Honey enters through the archway carrying a large salmon wrapped in newspaper.
Please, Mr. Forgetty, please. I'm not the guy you want. It was all Bubblo's idea. He's the one who stole your booze.
Well, we'll be sure to talk to him about that just before we blow his brains out, too. See you later, Mickey.
Al shoots, and Mickey falls to the ground. Honey screams, runs out. Al and Shirley turn and see her.
Hey, you, come back here.
As they begin to chase after her, Frank comes running in from the kitchen, sees what's happened, screams, and runs back into the kitchen again. Al and Shirley turn just in time to see his retreating figure, Al pointing at himself.
I'll take her. You take him.
He exits upstage.
Right, boss.
Shirley rushes into the kitchen. As the doors swing back, Frank is discovered clinging to the other side of it. He lets go of the door.
That's it. I don't need a job that badly.
Throw the chef's hat and whites.
Au revoir, Monsieur Le Pouf.
Honey rushes in from the kitchen, minus the salmon, and sees Frank undressing.
What are you doing?
I'm getting out.
You can't!
Oh, yes, I can. Do you realize who that was? Alphonse Spaghetti.
Alphonse Spaghetti? The Alphonse Spaghetti? Oh, my God!
That's right. And when he kills somebody, he doesn't leave any witnesses behind.
Crossing to a suitcase.
I'm leaving. And if you have any smarts, you'll come with me.
Wait, you can't leave now.
Picking up suitcase.
I'm sorry to let you down, Miss Bubbalo, but this is a little more than I bargained for.
He turns towards the archway.
No, you don't understand. You really can't leave. I was just out in the alley. There are gangsters all over the place. We're surrounded!
Bubbalo comes in from the basement.
What's going on up here? I thought I heard a shot.
Say, Mickey.
Good heavens, Mickey! What happened?
You've got to hide, Pop. Alphonse Spaghetti's here.
Noodle Spaghetti is here?
Yes, he just killed Mickey, and he's going to kill you too.
Me? What for?
For stealing his booze.
Oh my gosh, that little creep Mickey. I'll kill him!
He takes to Mickey.
Too late.
You didn't, did you, Pop?
What?
Steal Spaghetti's booze.
Don't be ridiculous. You know me better than that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pop. I had to ask. Anyway, we've got to get out of here. He's going to kill me, too, if he finds me.
What? What does he want to kill you for?
I saw them shoot Mickey. And they saw me seeing them.
I see.
Bubbalo.
What did you see?
I didn't see anything. What did you see?
I saw them see her.
Honey nudges him. He adopts his French accent.
I mean, I saw them see her, but they didn't see me, you see?
I see.
And if they say me again, it'll be so long.
Sayonara.
Frank with no accent.
See you later.
Heading for the archway and coming right back in.
No, no, the gangsters. The gangsters, here they come.
Bubbalo taking Honey's hand and racing toward the dining room.
Follow us, Monsieur Le Pouf.
Frank dumps his suitcase near the bar, follows them a beat behind. As they exit into the dining room, the door swings back and smacks Frank in the face. He falls down. Al enters through the archway. Frank crawls under the table as Shirley enters from the kitchen.
Any luck, boss?
Nah.
Me neither.
Well, don't worry. I gave the boys a good description of that dame. If she tries to get away, they'll take care of her.
Well, I didn't get a good look at the other one, but I did get this. He dropped it on the kitchen floor.
He holds up a wallet.
Let me see that.
He takes the wallet, looks through it.
Empty. Figures. Hey, here's his library card. Frank Plunkett. Well, at least now we know who we're looking for.
Frank pokes his head out from under the table, gasps, and disappears back under.
You see, boss, this is just the kind of thing I was worried about. Now we got a stiff on our hands and a couple of witnesses running around loose.
They ain't running around loose. They can't go nowhere. The boys are covering all the exits.
Shirley pointing to Mickey.
What do we do with him?
Yeah, who cares? Shove him out of sight.
Shirley opening the closet door.
What are we hanging around for, boss? Let's slam it out of here before somebody calls the cops.
What? And leave my booze for Morris the Hound?
Shirley stuffing Mickey into the closet.
The boys can look after Morris for us.
We ain't going nowhere till I found that Bubbalo. He's going to get what's coming to him. Now, come on, let's see if he's hiding out in the basement.
They exit to the basement. Frank scrambles out from under the table.
Oh, my God, what am I going to do?
Spots the chef's hat, picks it up.
Well, Monsieur Le Pouf, looks like we're stuck with each other for a while.
Plunks the hat on his head to the tune of Danse. Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum. He dashes into the kitchen. Bubbalo enters cautiously from the dining room, sees the coast is clear, races to the phone. Bubbalo jiggling the hook.
Operator, give me the police. And hurry, it's an emergency. Hello, police? You've got to get someone over here right away. There's been a murder. Chateau Bubbalo. Yes, I can tell you who did it. Noodle Spaghetti. That's right, the noodle spaghetti. So get someone here fast. If he finds me, my goose is cooked. Of course I'm serious. There's a dead man lying right here on my...
He looks over to where the body was and sees that it has disappeared.
Where did he go? Pardon? No, this is not a joke. I know a dead body when I see one.
Al and Shirley enters from the basement and see Bubbalo.
Dead body?
Ah!
Hey, you. Who you talking to?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh!
Looking at the phone receiver in his hand.
Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Yes, there's been a death in the family.
Al and Shirley exchange a look.
Anybody close?
Oh, no. A very distant relative.
Shouting into the wrong end of the phone.
What's that? Yes, brass handles will be fine. I think that's what she would have wanted. Well, I'll be in touch. Goodbye.
He hangs up.
Are you Bubbalo?
Who?
Bubbalo, the proprietor.
Never heard of him.
Don't give me that. You get a 50-foot neon sign out there that says Chateau Bubbalo on it.
Oh, yes, of course, that Mr. Bubbalo. Well, as a matter of fact, he's, you just missed him. He stepped out.
How long's he gonna be?
Oh, a very, very long time. Perhaps you'd like to come back later.
Al wandering over to the table and seeing the punch.
Eh, we'd prefer to wait.
I see.
What's this stuff?
It's punch.
Al, surely.
Oh, yeah. Probably spiked with my booze.
He takes a gulp of punch from the ladle and spits it out in horror.
What the hell's in this?
Oh, just some fresh fruit, some juice, a little seltzer. May I tell Mr. Bubbalo who's calling?
Tell him Alphonse Faghetti wants to see him.
Mr. Faghetti? Pleased to meet you.
He offers his hand to Al, who ignores it.
And you are?
Mr. Faghetti's associate. The name's Shirley.
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. Call me Shirley.
Who are you?
Me? Oh, nobody.
Then what are you doing here?
I'm the chef. Yeah, that's it, the chef.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Back into the kitchen?
Listen, I'd love to stay and chat, but I've got to run. I've got to finish plucking my geese.
Hey, get back here.
Bubbalo comes back.
No, we ain't done with you yet. You don't look like no chef. Where's your hat?
Actually, I haven't had time to change yet.
Seeing from a suitcase and grabbing it.
I just got off the train.
Oh, really? What's your name?
My name? My name is Plunkett. Frank Plunkett.
Plunkett?
Alan, Shirley pull out their guns. Shirley grabs Bubbalo by the collar, backs him up against the wall. Shirley points his gun at Bubbalo's face.
Ah! What did I say?
There's the sound of a voice off stage.
Mr. Bubbalo?
Who the hell is that?
Hello?
Check it out, Shoyle.
Shirley crosses to the archway, looks off.
You expecting anyone?
No. No one at all.
Shirley rushing over to Al.
Hey, boss, it's the cops.
The cops? Already?
That was quick.
What was that?
I said, I feel sick.
You and me both.
Easy, Rosie.
Good grief, it's effing.
It's effing what?
Not effing what, effing who.
Well, whatever it is, it's effing irritating.
Constable effing. He's a Mountie.
Told you, boss. We gotta get out of here.
I ain't going nowhere till I seen Bubble.
Oh, no.
Well, then we better hide. In here.
Moving toward the dining room. I'll still focus on Bubble.
Okay, I'm coming. Now you, Plunkett, get rid of him.
Get rid of him?
That's right. And remember, I got 20 of my boys out there. If you try and tip off the cops, there'll be a bloodbath out there that'll make the St. Valentine's Day massacre look like a weenie roast. You got me?
Got you.
Mr. Bubbalo?
Bubbalo's not here.
Alan Shirley crossed toward the dining room.
No, don't go in there.
They exit into the dining room. Bubbalo runs after them as they exit through one door. Honey enters through the other door.
Honey, thank goodness.
Pop, they almost saw me.
I know. Quick. In here.
Opening the kitchen door.
And stay out of sight.
He shoves her into the kitchen and then takes out his hanky and mops his brow. Constable Hamilton X effing enters through the archway in full Mountie dress uniform.
Mr. Bubbalo.
Bubbalo with a look to the dining room.
Shh.
Effing pulling out his gun, looking around, whispering.
What? What is it?
He turns towards Bubbalo, inadvertently pointing his gun at Bubbalo's face. Bubbalo screams. Raises his hands.
What's wrong? Oh, sorry, Mr. Bubbalo.
Shh.
What's the matter?
Bad headache. I am very sensitive to loud noises.
There's a loud bump from the dining room. heading, turning towards the dining room.
What was that?
I didn't hear a thing.
Steering away.
Now, what can I do for you, Constable Effing?
I'm here about the murder.
Another Effing takes to the dining room table floor, and Buffalo ignores it.
Murder?
Yes, didn't you just call and report a murder here?
Me? No, I haven't made a phone call all morning.
Effing takes off his hat, setting it down.
Well, somebody called us and reported murder at Chateau Buffalo. Dispatch took the call not 5 minutes ago.
Must have been a crank call.
I checked with the operator. She said the call came from here.
She did? Oh, yes, now I remember. I did make a phone call, but it wasn't to the police. It was to my, supplier. The operator must have got the lines crossed.
You called your supplier to report a murder.
No, it had nothing to do with murder. I was calling about my food order.
Food order, eh? Then why did you tell the dispatcher that there was a dead man in the room?
Dead man in the room? No, I didn't say there was a dead man. I said I'd be a dead man if they didn't get my order. You see, I've got 60 guests coming for my grand opening tonight.
Uh-huh. Then what did you mean when you said your goose was cooked?
My goose is cooked. I mean, it will be. That's the entree, Goose Galantine.
And what about this reference to Noodles Spaghetti?
Noodles Spaghetti? I didn't say spaghetti, I said spaghetti. That's one of the side dishes.
Goose, with spaghetti on the side.
Oh yes, it's very popular. They're serving it in all the best restaurants these days.
Turned away, Moses Brown.
Now, I'm very sorry for all the confusion, Constable Effing, but as I'm sure you can understand, I've got a lot on my plate at the moment. So, if you don't mind, I really must get back to laying my tables.
All right, Mr. Buffalo, I'll go check it out with dispatch, but I must say, this whole thing does sound a bit odd.
Anyway, if there were a murder, there would be a body here, right? And as you can see, Constable, there is no body here but me.
He opens the closet door and Mickey's upright body begins to tumble out.
Ah!
He slams the door closed, Effie turns to him.
What was that?
What was what? Oh, that was our chef.
What's he screaming about?
Oh, no, he's not screaming. He's warming up his voice.
I beg your pardon.
He's Francois Leplouf, the singing chef.
You mean you have the Francois Leplouf working in your kitchen?
That's right. And we're very lucky to have him.
Oh, my wife is a huge fan of his. Do you think he'd be good enough to give me an autograph? She'd be thrilled.
Well, he's a little busy at the moment, but perhaps you'd like to join us tonight. You can see him perform.
I'm afraid I have other plans this evening. You see, I'm getting promoted to corporal today.
Really? So that's why you're in your dress uniform?
Yes, and that's why I'm riding Rosie today.
I beg your pardon?
Rosie, my horse. She's getting promoted as well.
Bubba offering his hand.
Really? Well, congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Bubba ushering before the archway.
Perhaps you and your wife can join us some other night then. I'm sure Monsieur Leplouf would be happy to meet you.
That's very kind of you, Mr. Buffalo. I'll definitely take you up on that.
He exits. Buffalo mops his brow. Al and Shirley peek out into the room.
Psst. Plunkett. All clear?
All clear.
Al and Shirley emerge from the dining room.
Good.
As they point their guns at Buffalo's face.
Now, where were we?
Wait a minute. What do you want to kill me for?
Well, it's nothing personal, Plunkett. But I can't afford to have no witnesses left behind.
Oh, are you talking about Mickey? Hey, I didn't see a thing. And as far as I'm concerned, he got what was coming to him. He was a crook. No offense.
None taken.
Sorry, Plunkett, but business is business.
Wait! Please don't kill me. You need me.
Yeah? What do I need you for?
Well, for one thing, to protect you from Effing.
From Effing what?
Not Effing what. Effing who? The Mountie. I mean, I got rid of him once, didn't I?
So?
So what are you going to do if he comes back? Look, you need someone who's familiar with the territory, who knows how things work around here. I can help you.
You know, boss, he's got a point.
I sure do.
He can help keep the cops off our back till we get the merchandise out of here.
I sure can.
And he can also lead us to Buffalo.
I sure will. Buffalo?
Yeah, he's the one that cooked up this heist with Mickey.
Mr. Buffalo? Oh, no, Mr. Fagetti, he didn't have anything to do with it. It was all Mickey's idea. He tricked Mr. Buffalo into storing the stuff here. He said it was just pea soup.
Oh, I see. And Buffalo swallowed this story, did he?
Yes. Yes, he did. You know, between you and me, Mr. Bubble is a real nice guy, but he's not very bright.
Look, Plunkett, nobody's that stupid. If that Creek Mickey shipped 500 cases of my booze into this joint, then Bubble had to know about it.
Surely.
Amateurs. Can you believe this Bubble thinking he could pull off a stunt like this? Doesn't he realize what I'm going to have to do to him?
Do to him?
Oh, yeah. We got big plans for him.
Plans? What kind of plans?
You know, this and that.
Dislocation, dismemberment, disemboweling. You okay, Plunkett? You don't look so good.
Holding a stomach?
Just a little dyspeptic.
Huh?
Look, Mr. Fagetti, take my word for it. Mr. Bubble had no idea this was your property. If I'd known, I mean, I know Mr. Bubble as well as I know myself. He'd never go along with something like this. He's dead against bootlegging.
He's dead all right.
Believe me, he would never steal anything from anybody. He's a good egg.
By the time I'm done with him, he'll be a scrambled egg.
Excuse me again.
It's effing. He's back.
Get rid of him, Plunkett.
Split the gun in Bubble's face.
And make sure he doesn't find my booze.
Quick, boss.
Alan Shirley breaks into the dining room just as Effing enters through the archway.
Well, I hate to trouble you again, Mr. Bubble.
Bubble holding his hand.
Shh.
Sorry, I forgot my hat.
Effing crosses to the table downstage to get his hat. He sees the punch.
What's this?
What's what? Oh, that. It's punch. It's for my guests.
Not spiked, is it?
No, of course not.
Looks rather tasty. Do you mind if I have some?
And go right ahead.
Effing sets his hat back down, picks up a glass, and starts helping himself.
This is delicious. You know, I've never understood why someone would want to spoil a perfectly good drink like this by filling it full of alcohol.
Bubble crossing the table.
You're not a drinking man, I take it.
I never touch this stuff. I've always been a big campaigner against the evils of drink. It brings nothing but trouble. Attracts the criminal element.
Bubble, look at the dining room.
You're telling me.
Look at what's happened to this town lately. You may not be aware of this, but gangsters like Alphonse Spaghetti have been using Niagara Falls as a liquor pipeline for years. That's why I was so interested when the dispatch told me you'd mentioned his name.
Alphonse Spaghetti? The Chicago gangster?
That's right. He operates out of a place here in town. Maybe you've heard of it. Dominion Warehouse.
Bubble, with a take to the few remaining boxes.
Dominion Warehouse?
Yes, we've had our eye on it for quite a while now. Haven't been able to shut him down yet, but it's only a matter of time.
Gosh, I didn't realize.
Yes, it's a very serious problem in this town. In fact, it's been my sad duty to shut down many establishments just like this one because of their involvement in the rum-running trade.
I'm leaning on the bar.
Well, Constable, you're not going to have to worry about shutting me down. I've invested far too much in this place to risk it all by getting involved in bootlegging. Now, if there's nothing else...
As Effing picks up his hat, Bubble sees the bottle of whiskey that Alan Shirley left on the bar. He screams.
Bah!
Picks it up, trying to figure out how to conceal it, and Effing turns.
What was that?
He shoves the bottle down the front of his pants with the cork pointing down and turning to Effing.
What was what?
You screamed.
Yes, so I did.
Bending over and holding his back.
Sorry, kidney stone. It flares up every once in a while.
There's a loud pop as the cork comes out of the bottle in Bubble's pants. Followed by the sound of the bottle disgorging itself, the realization of what's happened dawns in Bubble's face. Effing and Bubble Focus is drawn first to the stain in Bubble's pants and down his leg to the growing puddle on the floor.
I think it just passed. I'm very sorry. Excuse me just a moment.
Bubble scurries behind the bar, Effing, eyes glued to the puddle, steps away and slowly lifts up one foot and examines the sole of his shoe. Taking advantage of Effing's distraction, Bubble removes the bottle from his pants, quickly tosses down the chute. He then bends down to find a rag from under the bar. A crash is heard as the bottle hits the basement floor. And Effing looking towards the bar.
What was that?
Bubble appearing from behind the bar, rag in hand.
Sorry?
That loud crash.
I didn't hear anything.
He crosses to the puddle and starts to clean up the mess.
Look, I'm beginning to think... What's that smell?
What smell?
Sitting near.
Smells like liquor.
Bubble desperately cleaning up the puddle.
I don't smell a thing.
He smells the rag and almost gags. Effing picking up the glass he was drinking from and sniffing at it.
You're sure there isn't any alcohol in this punch?
Bubble finishes cleaning up, crosses to the bar with the rag.
No, of course not.
Well, it's coming from somewhere.
He puts his nose into the bowl of punch, and Bubble takes the opportunity to sling the rag down the chute. He slams it shut, immediately stands in front of it, trying to look innocent.
What's going on here?
Going on?
You're behaving very strangely.
Am I?
Look, Mr. Bubble.
Shh.
Grabs his head, mimes much pain, panic look at the dining room.
I'm not a fool. You're obviously up to something. and I'm going to find out what it is.
Please, Constable Effing, you must excuse my behavior. I'm just under a lot of pressure right now. I assure you, I'm not up to anything.
Good, then you won't mind if I sniff around a bit then.
He heads towards the boxes of pea soup. Bubble follows him. Looking at the boxes, find the boxes.
What's in here?
Bubble ducking in front of that thing.
Nothing important, just supplies.
Puts his foot on one of them and leans on his knee.
Oh, really? Let's have a look.
Reading the side of the box.
Oh, I see they're from Dominion Warehouse.
Are they?
Puts the box and he leans on again.
My, my, so they are.
French Canadian pea soup, eh?
That's right.
All of this.
Yes, we decided to stock up. We get a good deal when we buy it by the gross.
It's an awful lot of pea soup. What are you going to do with it?
Oh, this stuff's going to put us on the culinary map. It's quite a delicacy in Quebec, you know. They eat it cold. I've even invented my own name for it. Pea chichois.
Very catchy. Let's have a look, shall we?
He motions for Buffalo to move out of the way. The phone rings. Effing looks towards the phone. Buffalo sits down on one box, stretches his legs out across the other box. He immediately becomes fascinated with his fingernails, and Effing looks back at Buffalo and registers his surprise.
Now what are you up to?
Hmm? Oh, just taking the weight off my feet.
Aren't you going to answer that?
Answer what?
The phone. It's ringing.
Is it? Oh, well, never mind. Probably nothing important.
Heck of a way to run a business. Hello? Yes, this is Chateau Buffalo. This is Constable Epping speaking. Oh, yes, Superintendent. What? I see. The Dominion Warehouse, eh?
Epping takes to Buffalo, who affects an even more nonchalant attitude.
Thank you, sir. Yes, I'll be right there.
He hangs up.
Sounds serious?
Arson generally is.
Arson?
Epping put on his hat.
Yes, someone put a torch to the Dominion Warehouse, got all the earmark of a gangland hit, apparently. I've got to get over there and investigate.
Bubble leaping up and ushering Effing out towards the archway.
Well, good luck, Constable.
Don't think you're off the hook yet, Bubble.
Bubble looks to the dining room and winces.
I'll be back. I know you're mixed up in this somehow.
Effing exits through the archway.
Oh, good grief.
He looks down, pinches at his wet pants, proceeds to take them off. He races to the chute and throws them down as Al and Shirley peek in from the dining room.
Hey, Plunkett.
Ah!
He turns around.
Well, what are you doing in your skivvies?
Never mind.
He grabs the tuxedo pants and puts them on during the following.
So what happened to the Mountie?
He had to go investigate a fire at Dominion Warehouse.
Al and Shirley look at one another.
The boys didn't waste any time, did they?
No, and neither will Effing. He knows something's up and he'll be back. You better get this booze out of here while you've got the chance.
Frank enters from the kitchen.
Mr. Bobadil.
Seeing the gangsters.
Excusez-moi.
He turns to go back to the kitchen.
What is it, Monsieur Leplouf?
Frank stops, turns around, terrified.
So you're Leplouf, are you? The famous singing chef.
Singing chef?
That's right.
No kidding. Hey, I always wanted to meet you. Now why don't you do something for us? How about some, Pagliacci?
Pagliacci, I'm out at the moment. How about a little linguine instead?
Huh? Oh, I get it. Hey, you're pretty funny. Leplouf, now, come on. Do a song for us. You know, some opera.
Opera? Oh no, that is impossible. I never sing in the daytime. It is very bad luck.
Really?
Boss, I think we gotta get moving.
Yes, Mr. Fagetti, we don't have much time.
Yeah, well, it was nice to meet you, Leplouf. Boy, wait till I tell my mother about this. She'll never believe me.
Frank dashes into the kitchen.
I'll go get a couple of the boys to give us a hand.
Okay, and tell them to back that truck up to the kitchen door.
Right, boss.
He exits through archway.
Come on, Plunkett. Let's get those boxes out of here. You can start with these.
He indicates the remaining two boxes on the stack. Buffalo picks them up as Shirley rushes back in.
Hey, boss, that lady cop's back.
Lady cop?
Really?
Shirley grabs his arm.
Boss, this ain't the time. Come on, we better get out of sight.
Buffalo opening the closet door.
Quick, in here. And here, take these.
He hands the last of the boxes to Shirley and Al as Shirley exits into the closet. Veronica enters through the archway.
Mr. Bubbalo?
Yes.
With a look at the closet door, whispering.
I mean, yes, that's me. But please, call me Frank.
Veronica's a little prone, whispering in response.
All right. Frank. I'm Veronica Snook.
Handing him a card.
I was here earlier.
Government of Canada? What department?
I'm with the immigration branch.
Immigration?
Yes. I'm looking for one of your employees, Francois Leplouf.
Why? Is there a problem?
Yes, Frank, there is. He's on the run, you see. I planned to arrest him this morning on the train from Toronto, but he gave me the slip before I could find him.
On the run? Why?
He's a communist, Frank.
Communist?
I'm afraid so. He tried to get the kitchen staff at the Royal York Hotel to form a union.
A union? How horrible.
Our sentiments exactly.
Bubba goes with a look to the kitchen.
I hope he doesn't think he's going to start any of that nonsense here.
Well, I'm here to make sure he doesn't.
I can't believe it. I was wondering how Honey managed to hire him away from the Royal York.
Well, now you know. And that's why we're deporting him.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's what we usually do with subversives.
Checking his reaction.
You certainly don't expect us to let people like that go running around free, do you?
No, of course not.
I was hoping you'd feel that way. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to speak with him.
Oh, look at the kitchen.
Oh, I'm sorry to tell you this, Miss Snook, but Mr. LaPlouffe's not here. We were expecting him on the train this morning, but he wasn't on it.
Is that so? Well, perhaps I'll go down to the station and see what they know there. He may have booked a ticket on the next train. I'll get back to you later.
All right, Miss Snook.
She exits. Frank returns from the kitchen.
Monsieur Bubbleau?
Monsieur LaPlouffe, why didn't you tell me immigration was after you?
Huh?
I just had some woman here from immigration branch who wants to run you out of the country.
What?
Forming a union, indeed.
Union?
And don't get any ideas about starting any communist uprisings here. I won't stand for it.
No, sir. I mean, monsieur.
Anyway, I've gotten rid of her, for the time being at least. But from now on, if anyone asks, you are not a chef. You are not Francois LaPlouffe. Do you understand?
Huh?
Good. Now take your clothes off.
I beg your pardon?
Bubba tears off Frank's chef coat and hat. He's still wearing his shirt and dark pants.
You've got to get out of those whites. If Veronica Snook sees you dressed like a chef and talking with that accent, she's going to know who you are. And quite frankly, Maestro, commie or not, I can't afford to lose you right now. So here, put this on.
He hands Frank his tuxedo jacket, not even close to the right size.
But, Monsieur Bubbalo!
Bubbalo takes the closet door.
Don't call me Bubbalo, or Bubbalo. As far as you're concerned, Irving Bubbalo is dead. From now on, my name is Plunkett. Comprende? Frank Plunkett.
Frank Plunkett?
That thing enters from the archway and crosses straight to Bubbalo.
Aha, Bubbalo.
No. The name's Frank.
Shh.
Now listen, Bubbalo.
He's not Bubbalo, I tell you.
Shut up.
I beg your pardon.
Not you, Constable.
Frankly, Bubbalo, I've had it.
It's not a Frankie Bubbalo. It is Frankie Blanket.
What? Who is Frank? You keep babbling about.
Frank and Bubbalo point to each other.
Him.
Huh?
You must excuse him, Constable. He's just trying to introduce himself to you. This is Frank Pagliacci.
Pagliacci?
Pagliacci, eh? That's Italian, isn't it?
Oui. Si. Buongiorno.
How do you do? Now, Mr. Bubbalo.
No. You had it wrong. He's not Bubbalo. Bubbalo is dead.
Dead?
No, nobody's dead. Thank you, Frank. Don't mind him, Constable. He's a little confused.
You can say that again.
Now, what can I do for you?
You can start by explaining what the hearse is doing here.
Hearse?
Yes, there's a hearse parked in the alley.
Oh, yes. So there is.
Frank.
It's his hearse.
It is?
Bubbalo nudges him.
Oh, yes. It is.
He's the Undertaker.
Undertaker?
Aha! So there is a body here after all.
Oh, mamma mia.
What was that?
I just said mamma mia.
Yes. That's it. Mamma mia.
Huh?
Mr. Pagliacci's here for my mamma. Mia, Bubbalo.
What?
off Bubbalo's lair in an accent.
Oh, it's true. Mama Bubbalo has passed on.
Bubbalo burst into tears, pulling off his hanky and blowing his nose noisily. Effing taking off his hat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize. What happened?
It was quite unexpected. One minute she was peeling the potatoes, and the next... face first into the salmon mousse.
How tragic.
Penny enters from the kitchen, carrying the salmon on a large dish.
Oh, Monsieur Lapouf, I was wondering if you might...
Lapouf?
Frank looks to Bubbalo.
No, Monsieur Lapouf stepped out for a moment. This is Signor Pagliacci.
Pagliacci?
Si, Frank Pagliacci of Pagliacci Puccini and Papadottos, undertakers at large. My card.
Frank puts his card out of his wallet. He holds it out to Honey, who reaches for it. Frank immediately puts it in his pocket. Honey looks completely flummoxed.
This is my daughter, Honey, Constable.
Effing, offering his hand.
How do you do, Miss Bubbalo? Hamilton Xavier Effing. I'm sorry to meet you under these sad circumstances. This must have come to quite a shock to you.
A shock?
Behind Effing's back, Frank is madly signaling for Honey to play along. She looks confused. Effing turns to see Frank waving his hands about. Frank kills an imaginary fly with his hands and wipes them on his hands. Effing, turning to Honey.
Yes, your grandmother?
Grandmother?
Yes, her passing away so unexpectedly.
But grandmother's been dead for like 15
Frank. Minutes! Sorry.
Yes, it was very sudden.
Effing to Frank.
15 minutes? You didn't waste any time getting here, did you, Mr. Pagliacci?
Well, business has been a little slow.
Sniffing to Frank.
What's that smell?
Frank checks under his arms.
Oh, I'm sorry. That must be the salmon.
Salmon?
Yes. Needless to say, after my mother's demise, we had to replace the mousse.
All right, I've heard enough. What's going on here?
Going on? Nothing.
What kind of idiot do you take me for? It's obvious you're covering up something.
What do you mean, Constable?
Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, Miss Bubbalo, but I have a reason to believe your father's been involved in a murder.
Murder?
An employee at the Dominion Warehouse, Mickey McCall.
That's ridiculous.
Is it? Then perhaps you can explain why you called to report that Noodle Spaghetti had murdered somebody here. And why Dominion Warehouse, an operation with direct connections to Noodle Spaghetti, has just been burned to the ground. On top of which, Mickey McCall, the manager of the warehouse, and known associate of Spaghetti's, has mysteriously disappeared after making a delivery here. A delivery which I have on very good authority consists of 500 cases of Noodle Spaghetti's liquor.
What?
That's right, miss. And now, I find a hearse parked out in the alley surrounded by a bunch of shady-looking characters, striped suits and fedoras. It's obvious what's happened here.
It is?
Of course. You and Mickey had some kind of deal going with Spaghetti. The deal went sour, Mickey was killed, and now you're covering up, right?
Wrong! Listen, Constable Effing, you have to believe me. I had nothing to do with any of this. I mean, what would a guy like me be doing mixed up with someone like Noodle Spaghetti?
Bootlegging.
Bootlegging? I've told you before I'd never get involved with something like that.
Oh, really? Then what about those 500 cases of liquor that were delivered here?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, if it's true, you won't mind me taking a look around, will you?
Yes, the basement.
Constable Effing, look, there's no reason for any of this. We're just trying to open a restaurant here, that's all. Believe me, my father, he would never be mixed up with gangsters. He's the most honest person I know.
There's something very fishy going on here, and I'm not talking about the salmon.
Salmon? Oh my gosh, the mousse!
Checking his watch.
We'll never be ready at this rate. Honey, you'd better get back into the kitchen and take Signor Pagliacci with you.
Come on, Signor. We have work to do.
See, I have to start gutting the goose.
Effing horrified, thinking he means grandmother.
I beg your pardon.
Frank realized what he's just said.
So to speak.
Wait a minute, Mr. Pagliacci. Why are you going into the kitchen?
Freezing his tracks.
Turning to Effing. That's where Mama Bubbalo is.
You've got a body in the kitchen.
Hey, don't worry. We put her in the ice box.
Honey reacts. Frank grabs her by the hand and holds her in the kitchen.
Body in the kitchen, eh? I think I better take a look in there myself.
He turns toward the kitchen. Bubbalo panic, runs in front of him in an attempt to intercept him just as we hear a scuffling noise from the closet. Effing, Bubbalo freeze and take to the closet door.
What was that?
Rats?
Rats in the closet and a dead body in the ice box. I think I better call in the health department.
There's blood from the closet.
Those sound like pretty big rats.
Yes, it's a real problem in this neighborhood.
We hear Al and Shirley grunting and roaring in the closet.
Okay, that's it.
He marches over to the closet, opens the door. Shirley and Al and Mickey are discovered in a row, dressed as chefs. Mickey is between Al and Shirley, arms draped around Al. Shirley is behind Mickey with his hand down the back of Mickey's pants. Al has his cigar in his mouth. Bubbalo is terrified.
What the? What are you doing?
I lost my keys. I was just looking for them.
In his pants? All right, you three, come out of the closet.
Al and Shirley come out, supporting Mickey between them. They leave the door open behind them and cross to the center.
Looks like we've got some Nancy boys working for you.
Who you calling a Nancy boy, clown?
Shirley attempts to restrain Al as Bubbalo steps in to defuse matters.
Constable Effing, this is my kitchen staff.
Indicating Shirley.
This is Mr. Humphrey, my pastry chef.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Bubbalo indicating Al.
And this is Mr. Dumfries, the busboy.
Busboy?
Bubbalo taking the cigar out of Al's mouth.
Now, Dumfries, you know there's no smoking on the job.
He slaps Al's hand, and Al glares at him.
And who is this?
This is the maestro himself, Francois Leplouf.
Francois Leplouf.
Impressed, grabbing Mickey's hand and thumbing it, assisted by Al.
Well, it's an honor to meet you, monsieur.
Letting go of the hand, which flops back down to Bubbalo.
He doesn't look too well.
No, he's been overdoing it a little lately. You know how it is, working too hard.
Oh yes, I know all about that.
Yeah, he's really dead on his feet.
Al whacks Shirley from behind. Bubbalo surreptitiously creeps up to the basement door and begins fumbling with his keys.
What were you all doing in the closet?
Now the truth is, officer, Mr. LaPouf's got a bit of a drinking problem.
No.
Afraid so. He's been dipping into the sauce, and I'm not talking about no Heinz 57. We was just trying to sober him up.
In the closet. The
boss don't like him to be seen like this. It ain't good for business.
No, I'm sure it ain't, is it?
Maybe we should let him lie down and sleep it off.
Good idea, boss. I mean, our dumpty? Excuse us?
Al and Shirley walk Mickey over to the table and sit him down. Shirley arranges him so that his head is on his hands on the table. Effing crossing to Bubbalo.
Drinking on the job, eh? And how would he get his hands on this stuff? I wonder.
Shoving his keys back in his pocket.
I'm sure he simply brought it himself. Alcohol is legal in this country, after all.
Not in a public house, it isn't. I think I've just seen what else you're hiding in the closet.
But Constable...
Effing spots the pea soup boxes.
Aha, what do we have here?
Effing picks up a couple of boxes and brings them out.
Some more of your famous pea soup. Something wrong.
Oh, it's strangled voice.
Another kidney stone.
He doubles over now.
You don't mind if I have a look in here, do you?
Sure, go right ahead.
Bubbalo looking at Shirley with surprise.
Huh?
Effing opens it up with great relish as Bubbalo whimpers, and Effing pulls out a couple of cans.
What the heck?
He reaches in and pulls out a couple more cans.
What's this? Pork and beans?
Bubbalo practically faints in relief. Al and Shirley are smiling triumphantly and nudging one another.
What's the matter, officer? You got something against pork and beans?
Shirley, to Bubbalo.
Boss? Shouldn't me and Mr. Dumpty here be getting back to work?
Oh, yes. Good idea.
Come on, Dumpty. You ain't finished mopping that floor in the kitchen.
Just a minute. Nobody's going anywhere until I've searched this place, starting with the basement. Now let's go.
He starts towards the basement door. Bubbalo races in front of him and surreptitiously locks the door.
I'm telling you, Constable, you're wasting your time.
Al pulls a gun out and aims at the back of Effing's head. Shirley tries to wrestle it away from him. Effing turns to see what the commotion is all about and discovers Shirley with his arms draped around Al, and they both smile as innocently as they can.
What's with you two? Can't you keep your hands off each other for 5 minutes?
Al shrugs Shirley off.
He can't help himself. He's very possessive.
I really don't want to know about their personal lives.
Crossing to the basement door.
Now let's go downstairs. I haven't gone all day.
Al pulls a bottle out from under his chef's hat and prepares to cosh Effing over the head with it. Effing tries the door but finds it's locked and then it turns around.
It's locked.
As Effing turns, Al hides the bottle behind his back. Shirley grabs it from him and Al is left in a provocative pose facing Effing. He smiles. Effing steps back thinking Al is coming on to him.
What have you done with the key, Bubbalo?
Bubbalo?
Al and Shirley turn to look for Bubbalo behind them. Seeing this, Bubbalo follows suit.
Who's he talking to?
Don't ask me.
There's a loud explosion from the kitchen. They all jump and turn towards the kitchen. Al and Shirley back up, pulling out their guns.
What was that?
What's going on?
Oh my gosh, what's now?
Honey comes running from the kitchen, dressed in whites with a chef's hat on and carrying a dishcloth. Her face is black with soot. Smoke pours out from the kitchen.
Help!
She sees Al and Shirley, their guns drawn, and lets out another scream. Effing turns to see what Honey was screaming about, but Al and Shirley have put away their guns and they smile at him benignly.
What happened?
Honey, terrified, attempts to speak, can only manage a few inarticulate guttural sounds.
He...
Who are you? What was that?
Oh, you'll have to excuse, Fatima, Constable. She doesn't speak any English.
Fatima?
Yes, our sous chef.
Holding up Honey's dishcloth to cover her face like a mash map.
She's a Muslim, a Sufi Muslim, I believe.
He speaks her loudly, money every word.
What's going on in there, Fatima?
What the hell?
It came in the kitchen.
Sounds like it's coming from the alley.
Those are Tommy guns!
Al and Shirley look at one another. Frank enters from the kitchen.
It's a shootout!
Seeing Al and Shirley switching to French accent.
I mean, it is a shootout!
Seeing having switching to Italian.
I mean, it's a shootout!
That must be Fagetti and his men. Everyone, take cover!
He rushes through the kitchen. Everyone ducks down. Honey grabbing Frank's hand, whispering,
quick, in here!
Honey and Frank run into the dining room.
It's gotta be Morris the Hound. Come on, boss, we better see what's going on.
Al puts the bottle on the bar, and he and Shirley exit. There's a loud sound effect of light popping and flashes of light are seen through the archway.
Oh no! My neon sign!
He rushes out through the archway. The gunfire continues as Mickey stirs, lifts his head up suddenly, looks around, shakes his head. Blackout.